cliffcentral.com. Future CEOs on cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs, and it's so good to be with you this afternoon. And Luby, we've got someone special in studio today, which is a little bit different to who we might usually have on the show. Not the journey necessarily, but certainly geography.
Definitely, it's a treat.
It is a treat. You just give a little bit of background, and I think you must start off with the line that we read on CNN, I think it was.
Richard Branson supports this business.
Richard Branson supports this business.
That was the key and the niche and the hook, trust us. And you know what I love? It's about education, and that's what we're all about. It's about Africa, and that's what we're all about. And it's about commencing and starting people's journey, especially entrepreneurial journey. And what better way to do it by using a gift, which is a talent or a skill, using ambassadors and using a great mentor such as Richard Branson to help explode this vision and make it impactful for us Africans. So bravo, bravo.
Yes,
happy to have him in the studio.
Bravo, Will. And so just before we go over to Will and introduce him, and then Nola's here as well. And maybe, yeah, you know
what's
Nola
up,
well.
Nola?
Remember, guys, if you can say yes to the question, do you want to be a CEO? Are you a future CEO? Well, then this is a show for you. What do we do here? We help you to fast track your career, to also expedite the growth of your business. It's really all about growth. Luby, you said it, education. So let's get straight into that. Luby, over to you. You want to do some introducing?
I think, Nola, let's start with you. You have been in our presence a couple of times. Just explain to the future CEO community who you are, what you stand for, and why are you here, and why did you bring this pot of gold into studio?
And just correct, Luby, there, we've been in your presence.
Oh, Gary.
Yes.
Yeah, well, so I'm Nola Mokwena, and I'm an entrepreneur and fundamentally a youth activist. And so primarily my role is I actually advocate for the youth voice in intergovernmental organizations.
We know this.
The AU, the UN, and BRICS. We just came back from India now to make sure that the policy formation is inclusive of young people.
Wow.
And so that's something I do, and I'm an entrepreneur as well. So Storage Wars, shout out, which is one great business we do for university students. We do short-term storage over December because we found that those who actually live far and their families don't have bikes, etc., they struggle with that. So that's something that's real basic we do. And then we're about to launch Grind Africa, which is really exciting, which is a youth platform, which is multifaceted. It'll have radio, TV, and an online platform as well. Basically, it's the Daily Maverick for
stunning,
African youth.
Stunning.
African youth.
Stunning.
That's really exciting for us.
How much should that punt cost? Nola, just quickly brag. Tell everyone that what came out yesterday, even though it was a year ago that you did it.
Oh, yeah, it was my TED Talk. Finally came out.
Wow!
TED Talk. After a year.
Congrats.
So it's been really exciting. It's been a very...
What was the topic of conversation?
So I was talking about the intersectionality of injustice and basically that, you know, we are the ones who actually have the privilege, and so therefore we are the ones who have the power to change. And
what
so.
Does intersectionality mean? I've heard that word.
Sure.
What does that mean?
So simply put, speaking about hunger or poverty, it's not just about one thing. It's all feeding into each other. So for me, if I talk about hunger, it's not about necessarily poor people only. We can talk about gender in the same breath. We can talk
race,
about race,
location, geography.
Yeah. So basically, the question is not, do black people feel equal to white people?
Love that.
Yeah. Because that's why they fought. The question is, do white people feel equal? And the same can be said about men. You know, the question is not, do women feel equal to us? It's, do we feel equal to them? And I think once you start to think about life that way, you start to perceive problems differently, and you start to look at your role and how you can impact the world much better. So that was the talk a year ago. And it's been a beautiful journey ever since.
Yeah, no, we retweeted it. So if any of the listeners want to listen, or rather go and watch.
Yeah, there we go.
Proud of you.
Yeah, go to our Twitter feed.
And everything, so yeah.
I know. Excellent. All right, well, talking about intersection, I mean, there's an intersection here that is happening, and it's boundaryless, it almost seems. And I mean, we're coming together around this idea of social entrepreneurship. Will, it's William, but I'm going to call you Will.
Will's good.
Great, great. Welcome to the show. It's good to have you. Just introduce yourself. Give us that 30-second pitch on you, and then also the pitch on your business as well, please.
Awesome. Yeah, so my name's William Adwesi. Yeah, born and bred in London. My full name is actually William Yao Boateng Adwesi I.
I like that.
Royalty.
I always like to throw that in. I'm born and bred in South London, actually. I'm of Ghanaian descent. So both of my parents are from Ghana and West Africa. And I'm the founder of a watch brand called Vitae London. So Vitae being Latin for life. and our mantra is to be the fashion brand changing lives. So with each watch we sell, we help support a child through education right now in South Africa. So yeah, that's what we do.
Why did you choose, okay, within Africa, why didn't you go to your own hometown? Why didn't you go to Ghana? Why South Africa?
Great question. I get that a lot, really. The reason being is that my wife went on a mission trip 5 years ago, and she actually came out to South Africa to a place called Port Elizabeth, which is often forgotten about. And the charity we support that we're passionate about, their vision is to start at the bottom of South Africa, so at the bottom of Africa in general, so Port Elizabeth, Cape Town, and work their way up through the whole of Africa. So we want to support them in doing that. So yeah, we're starting in South Africa, but they want to work their way through the whole of Africa. And also, I don't really see the divides the way other people see divides. When I go to a village in Port Elizabeth and I see the poverty levels, I don't turn around and say, oh, it's different from those in Ghana. It's we're all one people. That's how I see it. And if I can impact their lives, then why not?
And Eastern Cape is Eastern Cape, as you know so well.
Yeah, no, very, very nice. Thank you. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for being here on the show. I do want to start off with a bit of a challenging question, if that's all right.
Yeah.
So some people might look at your story and say, well, look, actually, this guy just wants to sell watches, and he's using a little bit of emotional manipulation, a social cause to couch it. What do you say to those kinds of people?
I think you only have to look at my story and look at me as a person to see the validity in what we're doing.
Okay.
A lot of people will try and capitalize on the movement to generate income and generate sales. But I've worked in the city before. Mm. I know how to manipulate marketing. I know how to make money without having to add a course to it. Mm. Like, I've earned very good money doing what I did before. Mm. But I saw, for me personally, I couldn't live on without doing something for the greater good of mankind.
Mm.
And that's the reason why I started Vitae London. And my dad was born in a village in Ghana. He had to beg people for the basics in order to get to school. And through that, my life has changed drastically. Imagine if I was born in that village in Ghana, I wouldn't be the same person I am today. Mm-hmm. And I can just see that we can break poverty cycles with the beauty of education, and I want to give that to more people.
Richard Branson always does say that if you want to have your brand be successful, tell a story that attaches to it, because people remember that motivation.
Of course.
It's not about the product or the service. It's about how you came through to create such a movement of change, you know, which is very, very cool. What do you think about that, Nolo?
Yeah, like, I think the most important thing is actually about narratives. And so like, my personal motto is actually rewriting the African narrative. And I think narrative is important because I think that's one thing that everyone has. And I think if you realize how important your narrative is, I think you sort of get the tools and you get what you need for your journey. And I think that's very important. So I think even brands need to sort of have that approach.
Well, more than just that everyone has having a narrative, we also, that the touch points are in the narrative.
Yeah.
And so as we move through life, we sit together, and there's more than just four of us here in studio. Guys, you want to just make a little bit of
shout out, a shout out.
Oh, there we go.
I was waiting for you though.
So but we're all sitting here together, and we're all different, but we're all the same in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And I think that goes to the heart of the social entrepreneurial thing as well. Why do people respond to it? Well, because somewhere in our history there's something there that just we can't help but do that. I guess I would hate for you to ever be confused with someone that might be trying to manipulate. Mm. How do you, just from a branding perspective, let's talk about that for a moment. How do you ensure that there's this differentiation?
You've just got to be genuine and real. Mm. I think people can see genuine people. You can tell the fakes from the real. So I'm just continuing to do what I do with passion. I've been out to South Africa 3 times in the past 9 months. I go out to see the children we're impacting, and it's more than just trying to generate some sales and generate money, because you don't really need that to generate money. And we would be probably a lot more profitable if we weren't giving so much money away.
Sure.
So yeah, it's just about being yourself, being real, and being vulnerable. Like, at first I didn't want to tell everyone in my neighborhood that my dad grew up in a village where my dad was actually the first in my family's generation to learn to read and write. So that's not something I'd want to brag about, I'd want to boast about.
Why?
But it's not something you'd be proud about in the area that I grew up in.
Okay.
Where there's been generations of everyone being able to read and write, and people have been able to get themselves up to a certain standard, a certain level. But my dad to be the first one in our family to do that. It's quite remarkable in a sense, and it's not something I would boast about, but it's just about being genuine and being able to share that story now and the beauty of that turnaround. So breaking that poverty cycle with education, and me wanted to give that as a gift to other children of Africa.
It's so amazing, Gareth, that time and time again, the stories that we hear of entrepreneurs is that they couldn't continue the life they were living. You know, you had a job, you were successful, you were consistent in paying your bills, you know, you were secure, but that wasn't enough for you. And I think that really what makes a social entrepreneur is that the need to have that cycle of alleviating poverty, alleviating cycles of destruction, and trying to make something better out of a world that is not necessarily fair. You know, so that's a really cool thing.
Well, let's go to then your values, your character, where it developed. Nola, by the way, you must jump in. You're an interviewer, just like us. It's so you must ask some questions, get involved here. Let's talk about your character development, because that is so important. You speak about being authentic, but you're authentic to what? You're authentic to some values. How did that develop? Where did it develop? What was an experience that stands out for you, which really epitomizes who you have become?
Cool. I'd say my foundation comes from my belief system.
Okay.
So I'm a Christian. I've grown up in the church my whole life. And I guess the key thing and the key character trait that has been driven into me is integrity. Mm. So I went through a phase when I was a teenager and I was living a bit of a double life. And I'd be one way in the church, and then out of the church, I'd be a totally different person.
All right.
And at that point, when I was around 17, I actually got exposed for being a fake outside church.
All right. Interesting.
And I'd say that was probably the turning point in my life. And it showed me and highlighted the fact that we just have to be integral in everything that we do. And we have to be honest in everything that we do, because the truth will always come to light. So that's what I hinge my life on. I think character is more important than anything else. It's more important than charisma, because like charisma can take you somewhere, but only character can truly actually keep you there. So there's no point in me starting this amazing business having a bad character and then I can't sustain the business. So that's why it's fundamental for me to always be developing my character and ensuring that, to me, a priority is integrity.
Nola, I'm interested in your comment here, because we're living in a world of Insta, and we were over lunch talking Insta, right?
Yeah.
And it's Insta everything. But really what that does to us is we see snapshots of people's lives, and some I don't know if that's the right word, a large majority of it, it's just that, it's a snapshot. It's someone test driving a Ferrari, it's not their Ferrari.
It's a moment.
And we become insecure within ourselves. There seems to be an entire generation that are foundationless, perhaps even characterless, as a result of this Insta thing. Yeah. How do you respond to this concern that is Instagram?
Yeah, so I don't think it's just Instagram. I think it's just generally like how things have happened. I think, first of all, one of the greatest things that happened to us was the tech bubble. But it's also one of the worst things, because now the assumption is that if I build a business and it takes 4 years to be profitable, that I'm not building a fantastic business. Whereas before that, people were willing to work 40, 45, 50 years to build a fantastic business. And now when you've had your Microsofts and your Facebooks, etc., people think that if I don't create something that can gain that much traction overnight, then I'm failing as
an entrepreneur. If it's not on social media, it didn't happen.
Yeah, so it's like, and so for me, it's like my social media, I try and do it... you know, it's very motivational, very snapshots. In fact, most of my personal moments I don't share on social media, because I think as well, like, you can get lost, and people think social media is success. It's not. In the end, like, how many volumes of what you're doing are you moving, and do you actually have a business, and is it actually profitable, and is it actually sustainable? And I think if you get back to the old school things, and I love that, because most of my friends are like 40, 45, like my business mentors, and they're just basic. They're not even on social media, and these guys are some of the wealthiest people in
the
country. Absolutely. Because they get back to the basics. They're like, do you have a business? What's the bottom line? Are you actually moving stuff? And I think that's the most important thing. So I think for a lot of young people, use social media as a platform, I think, to engage people with the narrative, most importantly. But in the end, the product value is what's really going to matter. And I think, especially for people who see themselves as thought leaders, etc., being able to speak is one thing, having the proper content is another. And I think for me as a speaker, that's something that I always pride myself in, is to make sure that what I'm bringing to the table is something unique, and it's something that's actually I've worked hard at, because everyone's a speaker these days, etc. And like, it's just a matter of making sure you're getting back to the old school and getting back to the basics.
Libby, you've got a couple of 100,000 followers.
Nothing close to like the big Berg numbers.
Yeah, but you've felt the pull. I mean, just speak to our future CEOs.
It really does get a bit drowning, and you lose yourself, as Nolo said. But at the same time, we cannot deny the advantages that social media has on business, especially London-based Vitae.
Yep.
Coming to Africa, that we all know about it, we're all retweeting it. I mean, that is great for your business. And I also know that you use Emily Sunday as ambassadors, and that's global traction. Yeah. Tell us more about that, Will.
Yeah, I think there's so much power with social
media.
And with much power, obviously, there's much danger. But the beauty of social media is the fact that I can reach the world now with a tweet.
I know.
Like, 50 years ago,
I know,
a young black boy from South London could not start a watch brand. But now I can instantly reach the world and partner with people who have a heart for Africa and who have a heart for what we do to then spread the word. People like Emily Sande and Richard
Wonderful
Branson.
Woman.
Yeah, she's great.
She's cool.
We've all kind of chipped in and spoken about us. And that's what's caused us to grow at the rate we've grown. So we've only been going for 11 months, but we've sold in 24 countries, impacted hundreds of children's lives. So, yeah, it's great.
It's super cool, man, that you know real celebrities, you know. I'm just
gotta say, you know, shout out.
I'm just trying to get on William's Instagram. You know? Forget everything I said.
Let's talk challenges for a moment. Yeah. What's awesome. The biggest challenge that you have faced at this point? Tell us a story.
Biggest challenge in life or in business?
In business. In this 11-month journey that you've got.
I guess the biggest challenge is the watch industry is massive. There's so many different players within the industry, and it's marking your unique territory within that, and also being able to get as much coverage as possible and bring in as many sales as possible. For me, I was earning like really good money working in the city, so the biggest challenge was transitioning from that good stable income into, hey, for the next few months,
we
don't know what's going to happen, but
story of our lives.
It's just awesome to be fueled by purpose as opposed to money for a seat, especially for that season.
And sometimes, uncertainty is such a powerful tool, especially for the entrepreneur. You know, like, oh my God, how am I going to survive today? You know, and we make it every day.
It's true.
What else do I want to ask? I wanted to ask something that was really, really cool. Tell us a bit more about Emily Sunday. So she loved what she did. And I know she's very philanthropic.
Yep.
And I know she loves Africa. And I know she loves education.
Yep.
So tell us that relationship and other partners you have that are pushing your vision.
Yeah. It's just been awesome, the people we've been able to get on board in such a short amount of time. With Emily Sunday, it was totally random. So it's my cousin's friend is dating Emily Sande's sister. So I managed to maneuver to be at my cousin's friend's sister's, Emily Sande's sister's house, at the same time Emily would be there. So we orchestrated that, and then I just met her at the house, and we just chatted, hit it off. And like, people like that, no other brand, unless you're a massive brand, but really most brands can approach them with money. Money doesn't really excite them. So most of those people, you can't tap into them if you're like operating any other way. So just sitting down with her and sharing my heart, she was just really keen to tell the world about us. And she's got over 1 million followers on Twitter. So for her to tell people about Vitae London, it's just amazing. Yeah, it's cool.
And then of course we step in with the Richard Branson name, the big R. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's cool. So with Richard Branson, it went through a bit of a process. So within London, there's a bit of an incubator called Virgin Startup, which you can get some money from. So over 10,000 people applied to get some money from that. 1,000 people were selected, so I was fortunately selected for that. Then from the and then from the 1,000, they chose 12 of the businesses to be ambassadors for entrepreneurship in the UK. Unfortunately, I was chosen for that as well. So
very nice.
Yeah, really cool. So through that, I got to go to Richard Branson's house, share the vision with him a bit more, and he's then told people about it and spread the word. So it's been just a really amazing journey.
So there may be some people that are listening and saying, well, the only reason you're doing so well is because of the big names.
Yeah.
But that's really not what it is. You've spoken about it already, this idea of purpose really driving you. I mean, just speak to, again, our future CEOs community out there who are listening and saying, well, I'm powerless. I sit in a, for want of a better phrase, a shack.
Yeah.
out in the middle of a township somewhere.
Yep.
I'm hearing this. I feel motivated, but I don't actually know how to take the next step.
Yeah.
What do you say to that person?
The beauty, I would say, is that purpose attracts. So them thinking that these amazing people have backed it and that's what's caused our success, I would say no, the purpose caused our success and that attracted them. So I would always say anyone who's in a rut, like my dad was in the exact same, maybe even worse position than a lot of these people. And now my dad's like a senior pastor of a church, has 7 branches worldwide, because he had the mindset that he could do beyond what he could see. So I would just say reach beyond your horizons, reach beyond what you can see now. And if you've got that purpose, it would attract everything else that you are looking for. And that's what I'd say to anyone.
And it has to be authentic. It really has to be authentic.
No doubt.
No, Nola, I mean, I think if we're pulling back a little bit closer to home, I like what you've said, Will, but let's pull it into a tangible next step. What does that person do when he wakes up tomorrow morning and he says, I want to connect with my purpose, or maybe I have connected with my purpose. What do I actually do now? What do I do?
Oh, Gareth, that's a tough question. What do you think?
But no, you're very smart, you're going to come up to
him. Listen to this guy. Listen to this.
Okay, now you've, now you've delayed enough.
I know. So, I would actually say, like, really the first step with anything, I'd say, is research. And I mean, like, sometimes that's a daunting word, and we grow up hearing the word research, and I think it's just as simple as going on to Google.
No, just Google,
Go to Google and type whatever it is you want to do, and you'll be absolutely amazed about what really comes out. And I mean, for me, even going into logistics, it wasn't something we planned. I mean, I studied agricultural economics, but to sort of just come to a place where I said, man, people need stuff moved. How does this thing work? How do trucks work? How do you price, etc.? You hit up Google and you'll be amazed what can sort of happen. And I think that's something that's accessible across the board to a lot of South Africans. And I don't want to deny the reality that a lot of people actually don't have that person to go to, the social capital, to know what to ask when. So I think that Google is a great starting point. But other than that, I think there are a lot of great organizations, especially grassroots, who really help our people. So go to a community center and make sure you're asking people, how do I get help there? Because sometimes it's region specific. And I know that a lot of people will definitely reach out and help. Those are practical steps that I can talk about.
And it's fantastic. I think I just can't remember who it was. I don't know if it was on the show or if it was just a conversation that we were having somewhere. But they said, I've got some of the best mentors in the world. And I said, oh, really? And then he starts name dropping. I'm thinking, yes, this is quite impressive. But he's talking about the books that he's reading. He's reading autobiographies.
Yeah,
he's studying their life. And it's not, you don't have to rub shoulders with people to be able to learn from them and to really get into their into their headspace.
Skills or connections when it comes to business?
Are you saying which one is better?
For you, it can be both or one or the other.
Connections.
And why?
Connections all day, every day.
Really?
Like, I think the best CEOs, the best leaders are not always the most skilled.
No.
They're rarely the most skilled.
Yeah.
They know how to connect and bring on board people that are more skilled than them in niche areas, who are then so excellent in that it propels their business. So I would say connections over skill any day.
Because
I definitely agree. I actually think the point of a network is to make sure that you have people who are accessible, who have skills you don't.
Yeah. Love it.
That's the whole point. And I mean, I always say, if you want to be the best in an industry, start hanging out with the best people in that industry.
Yeah.
And that's the sure way to make sure that you're elevating your game, because you need to see what it takes to actually succeed, not just be in the game. So for me, I definitely agree with Will. I think the point of a network is to make sure that you have people who you couldn't afford or anything accessible with those niche skills, and I think that's what it takes.
So actually what I hear you guys saying is that the one skill you must learn is how to network.
100%.
What is the networking skill? So go into that space very quickly. What stands out if you are in a networking situation?
If I'm going to be completely honest, I would say you need that foundation of credibility. So you need things that you've maybe achieved in the past or you're working on that will give you that foundation of credibility, so that those are kind of your selling points. So now when you are speaking to someone and trying to network, I would say networking is always, you always want to make it both ways. Because now once you go in there with those standpoints of credibility, they're actually keen on wanting to speak to you because they can see how they can be helped as well. Like even someone as big as Richard Branson, the beauty of him working with someone who's unknown like myself is the fact that he's potentially showing the black community in London that he cares for them and that he wants to reach their community as well, which could increase his sales with Virgin Airlines or anything like that. So there's always
A give and take.
There's always a give and take.
Love that.
And it's just about finding out what your give is, so that when you are speaking to people, it's both ways.
Yeah, like I definitely agree. I think I don't even believe in networking. I just believe in making friends. Yeah, and so I think, like, for me, when I go and meet someone, I'm not meeting you as, you know, hey Gareth, you do this, I do that. It's more about, like, let's just connect as people.
That's great.
I think for me, that's really set me apart, and I think it continues to just add immense value in my life. So I go out to friendships, and as a friend, I'll do more for you than if I knew you as a part of a network. And I think that's the most important thing, is that what we do for friends is often more than what we do for associates.
No,
and
that's great. That's
so
a valuable
I go
point.
In with that mentality, and I mean, like, all the people I've got to know, I go in as a friend. And if you're a friend, I want to help you. So if something happens in my life that I think relates to you, I let you know, because that's what friends do. And in the end, that's how you build a great network around you. But you look back, and it's not even professional. It's just incredible people you surround about who invested in
that's
your life.
It's that connection of purpose. It's that intersection that we were referring to earlier, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, very nice. Phoebe, we're running out of time here.
My favorite question, Will, what would you say to a 17-year-old you about your future and about where you're at now? 17-year-old.
I would just tell him everything you're doing has a purpose, and even the negatives that you're going through now, it's shaping you for the person you're going to be.
Love that.
So I wouldn't even tell him to change course or change who he is or what he's about to do next. I would even allow him to make the mistakes he's going to make, because even in the mistakes, it's going to shape me or him or whatever.
It's to be
the best version of me.
Love
so that's what I'd say.
Nolo?
Yeah, for me, I'd say, you know, 17-year-old Nolo, just really trust your story, man. I think it's, you know, that's what's going to set you apart. In the end, there'll be people with various talents around you, far in front of you, behind you, but just trust your journey, and you're not that crazy.
Just a bit. Everyone has to be a little crazy.
If I'm real, that's the real advice.
I see it in your eyes.
Homeboy, you know, you're not that crazy, because everyone knows I was wilding out. I'm sorry, Mom.
Yeah, we're sorry. Phoebe, what do you think of this conversation?
We're very privileged to have somebody who's come so far to make a difference in my hometown.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you. Come so far in many different ways.
In many, correct. Yeah? Love that. And I'm from PE. I'm from Uteneck. It's called the Dinaga in our language. And it literally is the poorest of the poor. And as much as an educator and a scholar, I believe I am, it's always great to find inspiration and motivation from people like you. So thank you for spending such a beautiful half an hour with us. And I know our Future CEOs community has been changed to do something of purpose in their lives. So thank you so much for that. And Nolo, you're my boy.
I'll see you next week.
You know? Gareth.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Phoebe, thank you very, very much. And guys, what a great conversation.
What a great conversation.
And we will see you same time, same place next week. See you then.
Bye.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.